Hello everyone, it's Ben here. Just to let you know it's been quiet on YouTube. Listen, we're trying. We're getting there. We're two 35-year-old mentally unwell men, all right? We're fucking trying. Stop having a go. But anyway, we have a brand new YouTube video. It is the directorial debut deathmatch. It's a lot of fun. Head over to our YouTube channel right now. Link is in the bio. We fucking love you. Apologies for the shamble of the episode. I tried, okay? Research. Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Every Movie Ever podcast. My name is Ben Groves.
And my name is Rob McFarlane. Welcome to the show, a movie podcast / mental health check-in for two broken-brained best friends talking around their problems.
Around.
But not about their problems.
Not yet.
So to recognize that fact, Ben, before I get to what we're doing, before you get to what we're doing, let's both get to how are you doing? The most important bit of our show.
Thanks, babe.
I mean, it's not, but yeah. You know, it's good that we say that. There are movie facts coming, new listeners, don't worry.
Yeah. I'm doing good, man. I had my first experience in IMAX 3D. That was a new one for me.
It's awful, isn't it?
It's the fucking worst. Holy shit.
It's like plugging your eyeballs directly into the mains grid. It's just too much.
Buddy, it's like watching a film on a tiny screen, but also that tiny screen is fucking massive. It's the most confusing thing. I wear glasses as well, so I had to wear glasses over glasses. I was a six-eyed dickhead. Sitting three rows in from the screen. It was horrendous. It's what I imagine watching porn in VR is like. You know what I mean?
Okay. Yeah it's not.
Okay. Well,
we'll move the analogy. I found it like you've already got there, but someone's still rubbing the tip.
Yes.
It was great, but it's too much now.
That's exactly
it's
what
too
it is.
Much.
In other unrelated news, I now own a Meta Quest 2. I don't. I'm too poor. How are you, buddy?
Similarly poor. Still poor.
Bless you.
Just got paid. Really poor.
Oh, same. Yeah, it's payday yesterday. I'm already brassic. You know what
I mean?
But
that's fine. That's fine. I'm doing all right. My mentals are at that point where nothing is wrong. Nothing has changed. I am neither good nor bad. I am just making sure the standby light is on and that I answer when people say my name.
Okay. This brings me to an interesting conversation that I had the other day with Adam Smart. We were discussing this exact thing.
Yeah.
I was like, I was aiming for beige days.
Yeah.
Do you remember when I said this a while ago? I was aiming for middle road.
Yeah, a couple of weeks ago. You're aiming for beige, right?
I wasn't, you know, not living up high constantly.
Teacups, not roller coaster.
Exactly, right? I feel like I've got there and I was like, I'm not sad. I'm not ecstatic. I'm not live, laugh, love, but I'm also not crying, eating Ben and Jerry's, right?
Yeah.
So we've coined the term live mid.
Live mid.
Live mid. It works on every occasion. Saying goodbye to your mates that are a little bit down, live mid, bro.
Yeah.
Something happens that you're like, well, I don't really have a reaction to this.
I don't know if I'd class what I'm doing as living. I exist mid.
Exist mid. Ooh, that's exist a fucking mid. T-shirt right there. That is, bud.
You know.
Hold on. Let me just pop this in my notes real quick.
I feel like in Everything Everywhere All at Once, where she moves to the dimension where life didn't happen, she's just a stone.
Yes.
Yeah. I'm a stone.
Isn't that the backdrop on your computer?
It was for a while. I've changed it to a little blue robot. What are we doing today, Ben?
Today, buddy, we're back in our Ty West X trilogy in celebration of Maxine being released. We are at film number 2.
We are. And
which was,
for the first time, I don't know what's coming next because I have yet to get to the cinema.
Okay. This fills me with joy because I've already written half of the Maxine episode and I cannot fucking wait for you to see this. So we're going to be getting into Pearl.
Right.
It's the second film in the trilogy. It was released 6 months after X. Complete surprise. Ty West literally fucking flexed his bulbous filmmaking muscles.
Love
and went, oh, yeah, here's X. It's one of the best horror films in decades. Also, here's another.
we discussed this
insane.
Last episode. Just casually releasing two films in 1 year. Shooting the prequel to your own film before it's come out is a ballsy move.
That's a cash out move. That
That is naming your baby before you've got her number.
Ooh, guilty as charged on a couple of occasions there, buddy. Spoiler, it was Roderick.
Right, okay. Best not to say guilty as charged on a couple of occasions when talking about meeting women.
Flying single now. I don't know what I'm doing. I'm just existing. I'm existing mid. Yeah. What's up? What's up? So today we're going to be getting into the origin story of X's titular vision. Vision? Fuck. I just had a stroke. Today we're going to be getting into the origin story of X's titular villain, Pearl.
What happened to her to cause such murderous mayhem in later life?
Why was Pearl made at the same time as X?
Is this the best period drama of all time?
It fucking is. I'm going to prove that one.
No, that's Carrie.
I'm going, ooh. Ooh?
Well, it's about.
Oh, fuck you. Oh, fuck you.
How did the first...
I started reassessing the film in my brain. I was like, is it a period drama? Could it really be a period
drama?
Well,
she does get...
No, she gets a fucking period. Fuck you.
How did the First World War influence cinema and how is this reflected in Pearl? Back on track.
Nature versus nurture. And which one fucked up our dearest Pearl?
And most importantly, who is Mia Goth?
Who the fuck is Mia Goth?
Yeah, I mean, genuinely, I've asked you to answer that question.
I know.
Because I've just got questions and I'm like,
specifically,
I could research her. I could just get Ben to do it.
It's the fun thing to do, isn't it?
Outsourcing, mate.
Yeah,
I learned that from Steve Jobs.
Oh, okay, there you go. I learned it from every interaction I have in my life. Like, oh, Rob, my camera's not working. It could be easy for me to research it, but it's far more fun to message you panicking.
Uh-huh.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Should we get on?
Yeah.
Came out in 2022, did it?
So
just after X.
Came out in 2022, 6 months after X. Well, it came out 6 months after X in the US.
Right.
And then the UK, we had to wait a full fucking year.
Yeah, I remember this because I remember you griping about it. We were podcasting at this point. We started podcasting in 2022 and you were like, let's cover Wheel and the Haunted Radiator and Pearl.
It
and
was
I'm like,
Rubber.
All right.
And the Microwave Massacre.
Right, okay. Whatever they were.
Thank you.
And I'm like, yeah, man, they sound like they've got broad appeal and they'll really help us do well on socials. And you're like,
yeah.
Oh, but Pearl's not coming out for a year. And I'm like, well, that bodes fucking well, doesn't it?
But I didn't know it was a year. I was desperate for it to come out. There was rumors everywhere. And there was rumors that there were torrents online. There fucking wasn't.
Right, okay.
And for 9 months, I remember whinging at you being sort of like, buddy, I still haven't fucking seen Pearl. And the American people that are tweeting and fucking talking about Pearl, I'm like, I can't do it.
Yeah.
There's only so many people that I can delete on social media before we're just a barren ghost town. We're not following anyone because they've mentioned Pearl at some point and I'm too immature to accept it.
There was a long wait to see it. I get it. It was like Trump's ear.
Fucking Oh, God. Oh.
It'll be fine. We're mostly UK.
Okay. Yeah, it's fine. That joke won't land. It'll just skim. You know what I mean? So, the film cost...
It's been a week, mate. It's not too soon anymore.
Oh, yeah. Fine. Get over it. You know what I mean?
Also, it's not like he's listening. He's only got one ear.
Ooh.
Oh, also, just a slight tangent here. I mean, this episode's already a shambles, so why not throw more fuel on the fire?
Yeah, it's fine. Exactly. Fuck it. Burn it.
Say what you like about deaf people. Because we now do transcripts available on all the episodes. The podcast distributor that we use allows us to do transcripts. So, Ben, I'll go in and edit that last bit, but no more jokes about the deaf, yeah? Because it's been a running theme for far too long.
Okay. If you edit the transcript to make it out like I'm making the deaf joke in that one.
Ben, that would be the work of seconds and hilarious.
But it's
dare you assume that I would do that?
How dare you assume that I have the 3 minutes available to do that, that I've already obviously pre-planned out. Okay, that's fine. Transcripts, you say. I'll figure that one out. I'll message you at 2 a.m, Rob, how do transcripts
the
work?
The script with its own pronouns.
Okay. So Pearl cost $8 million to make, which is a fuckload more than X had.
What the fuck?
Eight times as much, to be exact.
But X hadn't come out. So like what financials were they basing this on? Just imaginary numbers?
Oh, so this is going to be an interesting one because I have done some fucking research for this one, mate.
No, you haven't.
Yes, I fucking have.
What?
I'm going to get into it in a little
bit. Have you gone deep? Have you gone into a rabbit hole?
Buddy,
did you Charlie Day it with the eyeliner and the red string?
Yeah, this episode's going to have to be meta because I'm not going to lie, I've written an essay and there was no way for me to turn this into a conversational piece because it's...
Okay.
I've been looking in encyclopedias. I've actually done like 25 hours worth of research on this. I did it for you.
Encyclopedias?
Yes, mate. It's a fucking history
lesson.
Were
you an encyclopedia file?
Oh! September 11th, roll on. Let's get these fucking dad jokes snipped out with the bollocks, eh?
For new listeners, I'm getting a vasectomy on September the 11th. Ben's not being incredibly racist towards Americans.
Oh, yeah, I should probably explain that. That's not just a hate crime. It was a very funny observation on Rob's poor choice of vasectomy dates. Apologies.
Let's get serious, Ben. Because we're burning time and I sense that you've got a lot going on.
We need to get there fast because there is very little time.
Very little time. We've got quite a long breakdown as well. Mainly because you thought you were writing one this week and I thought...
Oh, I did write one.
Yeah, you did. So I'll read that. But why don't...
You've written one.
Why don't you hit play on the little soundscape? Remember last week? Lovely little soundscape.
Mate. Okay, last time it took me by surprise. This time I'm prepped. I've been practicing my rapping.
Oh, right, okay. You know what I mean? Yeah.
I've been singing along to Gambino's new album like I'm a fucking absolute G.
Have you been saying neighbor or ninja on all the N-words?
Neighbor.
Good. It's better, isn't it?
Neighbor's my go-to.
Yeah, I'm Mr. Rogers all the way.
It's been really hot. Yeah, it's been really hot, so I've got my windows down. I can't be, you know what I mean?
Right, here's the jingle. We're having a breakdown. Ben, wrap us away, babe.
All right, mate. Pearl in 18. Farm life's the scene. Dreaming big dreams. Wants to be seen. Mama's strict. Daddy's sick. Life's a load. A Pearl's got goals, wants to hit the road.
Nailing it.
She meets a guy, sees a grand plan. Hollywood dreams, gotta take a stand. Darkness creeps, twists her mind. Innocence lost, peace left behind.
After the turmoil of World War I and amidst the Spanish flu pandemic, young Pearl is stuck on a desolate Texas farm with her overbearing mother Ruth and her paralyzed father. Pearl dreams of a glamorous life as a dancer or a movie star, far removed from the drudgery and isolation of her current existence. She often sneaks away to the local movie theater, where she befriends a charming projectionist, played by a man who plays Superman, who encourages her dreams. Meanwhile, her husband Howard is away fighting in a war. Pearl's yearning for freedom and her oppressive home life set the stage for her growing desperation. Back to MC Dizzle.
Mama's control keeps... Oh, wait. 2, 3, 4. Mama's control keeps the land bound. Pearl's fire burns, can't keep it down. Death and desire twist and dance. T. West's Pearl takes her chance. Blood on her hands, reaching high. Horror story, touch the sky. Ambition deadly, fangs twist. Pearl's late, she don't miss.
Fucking DMX towards the end there, bud. It's good.
X gon' give it to you, buddy.
Ooh. Pearl's friendship with the projectionist gives her a tantalizing glimpse into the world of cinema and pornography, further distorting her perception of reality. Fueled by these fantasies, she auditions for a dance troupe at the local church, seeing it as her escape route. However, her dreams are shattered when she is rejected, pushing her fragile psyche closer to the edge. And I'm about to break. As tensions escalate at home, Pearl's relationship with her mother deteriorates into a violent confrontation. Pearl's frustration, resentment, and delusions intensify, leading to a series of gruesome acts as she struggles to break free from her stifling life. Ben, take us home.
Tale of Pearl. Dreams collide. Twisted world. Secrets hide. T. West scene. Horror. Desire. Pearl's fame. Set screen on fire.
Pearl's mental state spirals out of control, culminating in a brutal confrontation where she kills her mother in a fit of rage. The projectionist, realizing the danger Pearl poses, tries to distance himself but also falls victim to her growing madness. Pearl's husband, Howard, returns from the war to find the aftermath of her rampage. Confronted with the horrifying reality of Pearl's actions, he's left to deal with the shattered remains of their life. The film ends on a haunting note, with Pearl completely consumed by her delusions, setting the stage for the events that unfold in X Gon' Give It To You, X Gon' Give It To You.
Gon' Give It To You, X Gon' Give It To You. Buddy, I'm so fucking happy that we wrote two breakdowns this week, because not only is that going to be a fucking nightmare to listen to, you're welcome, by the way, dear listener. I feel like my rap career is just getting started. Mate, you know what I mean?
Honestly, I can see it blossoming. I've worked with worse.
Mate, that's a fucking compliment, because I know the people that you've worked with.
I mean, to be fair, I did a fair bit of kids bop and that was difficult.
Woo! Yeah, but I bet it was fire, full of the riz. I don't know slang terms, so I mean,
you used it correctly, but if I was to riz a child, that would be illegal, Ben.
Yeah. Yeah. Fair point.
It wasn't doing much. All right,
so back to the show. So back to the show, buddy. This is going to be one of those shows where I have come up with a point with you in mind. This is the trilogy where I was like, X is my film.
Yeah.
Pearl is your film because it's, you know, you're into fucking period dramas and bullshit.
Don't say Maxine is both our films because I've not seen it yet. And if you tell me I'll enjoy it, I'll go, fucking won't now.
All right. Then Maxine is a mystery.
Brilliant.
How about that?
Great.
Happy now?
Happy. Because, yeah.
Good. Okay.
I listened to Block Party last year. I was like, yeah, they are quite good.
Fuck you. I was in love with them for my entire life at uni. Okay, that's fine.
I'll get around to Poly Six eventually.
Oh, fuck you. They're incredible. That's made me angry. So, I'm going to argue in this episode that not only is Pearl one of the best horror movies of the 20s to date, but I'm also going to argue that this is one of the all-time great period dramas.
With Carrie.
Up there with Carrie.
Right,
I put Carrie at number two.
Okay.
Right?
Great, 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 great. Okay, yeah.
So, T. West. He's fucking insane at filmmaking. Mm-hmm. He has this incredible ability to make his films like effortless. Oh my God, I can't fucking talk. What is wrong with tongue? So, Ty West has this insane ability to make his films effortless. I'm going to kill myself. I don't know how I'm going to do it. I can't fucking say this word. Ty West has this insane ability to make his films effortlessly portray the cinema that influences his characters at that time, right? Mm-hmm. So the period that they're set in, what's happening in cinema is affecting his characters in his film. It's meta as fuck, but it's done in such a subtle way that unless someone points it out to you or you sit and you really think about it, you're like, oh my God.
Right. Yeah, yeah, yeah. He
pure penny dropping moment.
Right. He really, really like commits to the era that he's portraying and uses the stereotypes and the signifiers of the era that he's portraying in the movie.
1,000%.
So X was like, you know, it opened with that 4:3 frame and everything looked blurry like sepia. But like this one, Wizard of Oz, primary colors. The soundtrack on this is incredible. And it's so
fucking amazing,
evocative of that like
era
of cinema. It's beautiful, beautifully, beautifully
X does do that and he does it fucking beautifully. Yeah. But what he's done with Pearl is in Pearl, it's reflecting the influence of the First World War and how that affected cinema at the time.
Yes. Yeah, 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 yeah.
Right. This is the history lesson, Rob. Are you ready for this? Mm-hmm. This is where the fucking hours of research come into this. You ready to take a trip with old Papa Ben?
I am indeed, yeah.
All right. My voice is fucked from rapping, by the way. X gone give it to you. It's fucked my throat.
X gone give it to you. Laryngitis is what he wrote that song about.
Yeah, that's what he meant. Yeah, sore throat, bit of a tickle. You know what I mean? So this Technicolor nightmare, Rob... I'm dying. I'm actually dying. I don't know what's happening. I'm so sorry about this. I know this is future Rob in the edit. I'm so sorry. This Technicolor nightmare fuel fever dream of a period drama is Ty West flexing his fucking already impressive filmmaking muscles, right?
Yeah.
X being set in the 70s, the movie is dripping with 70s charisma. It fucking looks it. It feels it. It sounds it. But most importantly, it fucking acts like a 70s movie should.
Yeah, it really
does. Very subtle. There's plenty of room to breathe. Heavily leans into the genre. You know, the VHS boom was happening. Yep. This is a small, independent film crew trying to cash in on that moment, right? Pearl does exactly the fucking same with its 1918-ish reflection of cinema, right? The insane, childish, over-the-top Technicolor, primary colors, everything is very sort of like basic, standard, bright. The continuous complimentary soundtrack and the constant, is this lowbrow carnival nonsense or is it fine art? So, let me explain.
Right. Well, there's a fair bit of that. There is a fair bit of that.
Yeah.
I've got feelings. I've got feelings on the matter.
Okay. I'm going to address these feelings, but what I want to do is I want to paint the picture of cinema in 1918. I want to take Ben, us back.
This is not you, buddy. What the fuck?
This is not me. I'm doing this to impress you. Yeah, I mean, it's right? working. This is for you.
It's Thank working.
You. This is just the tip. Wait until you see the shaft. Ooh, it's
hairy.
Mildly.
Hairier than the balls.
That wasn't horrendously true. Pearl is the perfect reflection of the era that it's set in, right? 1918 is a different world of early cinema. Mm. And the First World War has obviously had a massive impact on this.
Right.
But in more ways than you might think. Also, if this sounds like I'm reading, I am. It's my essay. Fuck you. Enjoy it. Enjoy my research. I couldn't turn this into a conversation. Just let me be.
Okay.
All right?
Okay. I was going to point it out.
Okay.
I'm curious to hear the research. This is a good development.
Sound okay. So, it helped the social acceptance of cinema going, mm-hmm. partly down to the medium becoming the quickest way to sway public support of the war through propaganda and newsreels being shown in theaters, yeah. right? So then now it was a broader appeal because you didn't have news back then. You didn't have like fucking constant updates. You had to go places to get the fucking news fed to you, hence theaters. But it also removed the working class stigma that cinema had gained over the years during its fairground and carnival mm-hmm. circuit days.
Yeah, it was a little sideshow attraction, right? It wasn't art.
It was, yeah.
It was like wouldn't go to a refined evening with your nice clothes on to watch clowns.
Exactly. So this is where we're going to take a step back further in time, Rob. You thought we're in 1918, fucking sausage. We're going back.
Right.
We're going back to 1914.
Right.
Come with me. Step in.
Okay, yeah.
So pre-war, cinema was confined to small venues like music halls before it was taken out on the road to like fairgrounds and carnivals before finding its roots in like big purpose-built theatres, yes. right?
And you're reminding the listener of this, right? Because I definitely didn't tell you all this during the Chaplin series that we did like 2 months ago.
This is all for the listener.
It's all for the listener.
It's all for the listener.
It's implied that you know this too because I told you.
Yeah, of course. This is where my research came. I just listened to one episode of you telling me this exact stuff. Like...
No, go.
But I've gone deeper.
Yeah, by all means.
I found an encyclopedia of the war and it had a bit about cinema in it. So enjoy this. Ready? By 1914, the US had 10,000 permanent cinemas, mm-hmm. the biggest of which being the Mark Strand Theater in New York City, which had almost 3,000 seats in one cinema. That's fucking mental to me. I can't remember the last film that I went to with more than 60 people in it.
Right.
And that was a nightmare because it was far too busy.
Can you imagine going to a film that you're desperate to see? Dune Part 3.
Yeah.
Right?
Oh,
and
imagine.
3,000 fuckers are there and you're like, I cannot hear a fucking thing.
No.
Because guess what? Amplification's shit in 1914.
Yeah, because you're all sitting into like an acoustic dome, so you have to sit 49 fucking feet away from anything to be able to hear it. But also, now you're where's my little binoculars? You know what I mean? Where's my little peepers? So almost 3,000 seats in that one theatre. That's fucking disgusting.
Insane.
The UK had 5,000 permanent cinemas offering a total seating capacity in the country mm-hmm. of over 4 million. Right?
Okay.
Pretty impressive.
That's pretty impressive. One second. I just got to do some quick maths, bruv.
Don't fucking fact check me on
this one. No. I'm dividing. How many? So 4 million seats in total. How many cinemas in total?
5,000.
An average of 800 seats per cinema.
That's not that bad.
But it's the UK, so you can guarantee that the majority of them had 12, and then one in London had 3 million.
There was a fair whack in London that had like thousands, and then small towns would be sort of like, here's four chairs.
Yeah, yeah.
They're deck chairs, and also the screen is the side of my van. Enjoy. But the thing that blew my mind in this whole fucking encyclopedia that I was looking at is, you know, pre-war, Russia's been painted out to be this sort of like, it's all grey and rainy and everyone eats nothing but potatoes and it's so impoverished and this, and rah, rah, rah. You know what I mean? Like the weird stigma that was put out there. Even in Russia.
I'll agree with you for the sake of your essay and just cringe internally. Yep. Yes.
Yeah, that's fine.
Bolsheviks weren't a thing. That's fine.
It's been 100 years. You know what I mean? We can say that people...
You've seen Anastasia, right?
No, obviously not. Okay. But we can say that people back in 1914 were racist. It's fine.
Fine. Yes. Yeah. Okay. I'm with you.
Even Russia had 200 permanent cinemas in just St. Petersburg and Moscow.
Yeah. Because they were minted.
That blew my fucking mind.
Mate, why do you think they had a revolution?
Yeah, but I didn't know that. I didn't know this.
They were like, oh, them aristocrats are being mad fair. Let's not invent communism.
You've known me for 18 years now. At what point did you go, yeah, Ben probably understands what people thought about Russia in 1914. What the fuck have I ever said in that vein, ever? That,
no,
obviously, I'm going to go for the cheapest, cheesiest TV show on
me.
That's
true.
That
is true.
Yeah, that's probably correct.
But I like your encyclopedophile phase.
Thanks,
this
man.
This is good.
I'm leaning into it.
Yeah,
I'm leaning into it. So, film was a hugely popular source of entertainment, but it also carried a reputation of being working class, a lowbrow medium, and it was kind of held in contempt by the fine art connoisseurs. So, me and you back in 1940, mate, you'd have been noncing off at the fucking opera, and I'd have been sitting
I'd have been what
in the back
to the
of
opera?
Walking off to the opera.
Okay.
And I'd have been mincing my way into a little fucking slapstick comedy show. Do you know what I mean? With three people were possibly masturbating, but it's too dark
right,
to see.
Okay. Yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean?
Because comedy and burlesque and music hall, you get all the cool ones. Because I obviously have got no prize of enjoying burlesque or comedy or music.
No. That's your thing. That's live show. I'm on about film, specific
right,
film.
Okay.
I'm not going to watch a burlesque show. Fuck off. What are you talking about?
Oh, mate, you're missing out.
Dead-eyed heroin addicts being like, look at my almost tits. No, I'm good.
That's not burlesque. Go on.
It's 1914's answer to OnlyFans. All right. I've got the encyclopedia, Rob. I know what I'm talking about.
Not
research.
True. Okay. Okay.
Okay, so speaking of, now that we know that Russia wasn't as bad as everyone said it was, right?
Right.
Nicholas II, Emperor of Russia, wrote in 1913, I'm going to do the accent.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to do
the accent, buddy.
I'm not going to do it. I'm
actually,
not.
No, man. Slava Ukrainia, do it.
Okay. I consider the sin. No, I can't do it. It's fine.
No, buddy, this racism is helping win a war in Eastern Europe, okay? So it's fine. The Ukrainian people need you. They need you.
But any deaf person
or hard of hearing
that is reading the transcript and saw the earlier edit, saw the earlier edit, just know that that's where it came from, all right? Words speak louder than...
I'm just saying it's going into a permanent record now, Ben, and you said I was noncing off at the opera. Which implies the existence of a brilliant Lloyd Webber musical, The Nonce of the Opera.
Oh, God, could you imagine?
Where he wears a full mask.
I'd watch that. That's the thing, I'd watch it. That'd be hilarious.
All the songs would just be Ian Watkins written.
Yeah. Being sung from children, but they're also in the wall. Do you know what I mean?
I am the demon of music. That's a joke for people who've seen Phantom of the Opera.
I didn't get it. Did you? Let us know on Discord. Join us now, where you can get more Phantom of the Opera humor and Ben missing all of it. Fantastic. Nicholas II, Emperor of Russia, wrote in 1913, I consider that cinema is an empty, totally useless, and even harmful form of entertainment. Only an abnormal person could place this farcical business on par with art. And then, buddy, it's not just the Russian side, our fucking side too. Ready for this one? CFG Masterman, cunt. No, not cunt, sorry. CFG Masterman, legend.
Right.
The fella in charge of the British propaganda during the First World War suggested that film should be included in the media used for propaganda to the board of the film censors, to which the secretary, Joseph Brooke Wilkinson, this one's the cunt, I misread my own fucking essay,
right,
said, what? Has the country really come to this? Cunt.
Yeah.
Anyway, we'll swiftly move on. Now we're in the war, Rob.
Right.
We're in the war now. During the war, cinemas were used to show propaganda films, newsreels, as a way to whip the audience into supporting the war.
Right.
Documentary films were made about the war and life on the battlefield came through. And many dramatizations were pushed out. But, buddy, these proved to be difficult weapons to wield.
Huh?
The materials could just as easily be prompt anti... The materials could just as easily prompt anti-war sentiment after seeing what is truly happening to friends and families whilst fighting for their country.
Yeah, don't show that shit.
Who'd have seen this woman? I know. And I fact-checked this because I've read a bit of the Manchester Guardian when they covered the movie, The Battle of the Somme?
Yes, that's a very important battle.
Yeah, it happened.
Okay.
You know what I mean? Get over it. It was ages ago.
Well, I've got a fun fact for you, Ben. Nothing to do with film, so everyone else can stop listening because this is our specialist subject.
Cool, enjoy it.
Music. Mm-hmm. Music round. Quick little tangent. Mm-hmm. What have Anarchy in the UK by the Sex Pistols and We'll Meet Again, Don't Know Where,
Don't Know When.
What have they got in common?
They're both shit.
How dare you? On
I'm
both
joking.
Counts.
They're both mint.
They're both mint.
Joking,
and they were both banned from the radio. Ooh. Sex Pistols because Sex Pistols.
Yeah, of course.
We'll Meet Again because the war was on and they were like, that's making everyone very sad.
Oh.
So that's not allowed to be played while the war's on because they're going off to war and we know you're not going to see him again.
Do you know what I would really like to know? Right. I'd love to know what the Manchester Guardian editorialised about that song. But unfortunately, the only research I've got is what they editorialised about the Battle of Somme, in which they said, the more of the war's trappings that are stripped from it, the more will men see its waste, its madness, and its cruelty, as well as its glory, and the more earnestly will they cleave to peace.
Right. So, to bring it back to film for you,
right?
Do you remember when we covered All Quiet on the Western Front?
I do.
And the first bit of the film is all the old blokes going, yes, the glory and the honour of
exactly
war.
Yeah, yeah,
that
yeah
was the public perception. So, to show actual footage of it, people were like, that does not look very honourable or glorious.
Yes. So, this is what...
Right, so I'm following.
This is where society was at
I
now.
Love Encyclopedia Ben.
So, the state of cinema is a tough one because they need... Obviously, it's becoming more and more popular and it's working well with propaganda. But the films that they're making, the films that are releasing, are sort of almost backfiring,
yes,
to sway anti-war
100%
kind of stuff, right? So people are now leaning into the other form of cinema, which is just pure entertainment. So the dancing,
yeah,
the stuff like this. Obviously, the French had started fucking on film because why not, France? You know what I mean? Like, that's just what happened. But with this happening, distribution was getting increasingly difficult. It was mad difficult during the war because films made in certain countries would not be screened in enemy territories.
Right, okay.
And even allied countries would struggle with distribution. So now it's massively limiting what's being able to be shown in cinemas.
Yeah, of course, right? Of course.
Now, I'm glad that you're still with me. I'm glad that you're enjoying it.
Yeah.
More importantly, I can hear the nerd boner that's going on over there, buddy. I fucking heard the knock on the desk about 4 minutes ago.
You notice the camera angle on my laptop's just getting higher and higher.
It's
pure ceiling right now.
Literally, all I've got now is top of nose. You know what I mean? I can't even see your mouth. Because here's my point. Finally,
right,
we're back to Pearl, right?
Lovely.
Ty West captures all of this within Pearl. His universe building, and his trust in the audience to fucking be able to put two and two together and be sort of like, right, okay, so the characters are living in that society and this is the state of cinema in Pearl's universe in this time frame, right?
Of course, yeah, 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 yeah.
It's all there and it's fucking beautiful. Pearl's from a younger generation. She's infatuated with this new form of entertainment, right? All the glitz and the glamour,
yeah,
and the fame that comes with it. She sees like, oh my God, that's the perfect life. Everyone's lovely. Everyone's happy. Everyone's singing and dancing. Oh, it's great. Pearl's husband has gone to war. Howard's gone to war,
yeah,
right? And there's no guarantee that she's ever going to see him again. There's no fucking way of knowing. So she's living in that moment.
Yeah.
Cinema or show business is a ticket out of that isolated small town living that feels like a prison sentence with the war and the Spanish flu being two of the meanest fucking security guards you've ever did see.
Yeah.
Rougher than prison guards in S. Craig Zahler's movies. You know what I mean? I'm just putting that one out there. They're fucking rough. Pearl's mother, who's by today's standard, holds wildly outdated opinions.
Yeah.
Of course they're outdated. It's 1918. You know what I mean?
Yeah, of course.
She's massively unsupportive of her daughter's dreams. And it's part of the older generation who still view cinema as this weird sideshow waste of time.
Yeah,
what the
yeah,
fuck
for
are you
sure
doing with yourself type shit,
just
right?
Dancing generally. She's like, it's not a dancing time. She's like, there's a war on, there's a pandemic, and you're like, I want to go dancing. We've got no farmhands. Right. What are you doing?
We have no farmhands. They're all dead of the Spanish flu.
Yeah.
Your dad's in a fucking wheelchair. Help feed him. Stop running off to the cinema sipping morphine, you cunt. You know what I mean? Like, that's essentially where she's at.
She's not wrong.
She's not wrong.
She's
I agree.
She's not wrong.
Because you're also of the older generation would be sort of like, I need the opera. This is nonsense. See?
No, I just feel like, I feel like if there's shit to get done, do the shit, then go cinema.
Yeah, maybe. Maybe. Yeah, that makes sense, actually. Yeah, all right, I'm with you. All right, I'm there. But the Spanish flu in this one, mate, it's such a fucking delicate, fantastic touch to all of this genius.
Mm-hmm.
This genius period drama that's unfolding in front of our eyes. Because it's reflecting what Ty West and his crew and actors are going through in that moment in order to make that movie.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And it's
just.
Do you, I say this whenever we come across a movie that's nigh on perfect for me. I always say the story itself reflects what the
filmmakers are going through
at that time, right? Because it's genuine, it's honest, and it's telling a story that they know the most about because they're fucking living it.
Yeah.
And I can trust in that wholeheartedly. It's this It's this, the fucking everything that comes with it, the restrictions, the fear, the fucking uncertainty is insane. Even down to the masks and the social distancing, it's all there in the film to see, but it's so subtle that unless you're really paying attention to it, you're just sort of like, oh, this was life then.
Yeah, so that's all the time we have for this week. Join us for next week.
Get in the bin. I'm so nearly done. Dude, honestly, this is the creme de la creme.
Okay.
It's the creme de la creme. Right, ready? Yep. It's just going to be such a letdown now. I've built it up too much.
It's you in text versus you in bed.
Oh, yeah, this is it. This is me talking my game, and this is my game.
Yeah, you know what I mean? Yeah, yeah.
I've been talking for about 20 minutes. That's me talking the game. Get ready for the game. Okay? Pearl's view of the people that she sees on screen is largely amplified due to her own awful situation. She compares herself to these sort of like on a pedestal, dancing happy people.
Yes.
Now this brings up the whole nature versus nurture discussion, right?
Right.
Is Pearl fucked up by nature, or is Pearl's fuck up nurtured within her by the enormous amount of stress of the impossible situation the world is in right now? The world war, pandemic, strict paranoid parents, rich, lavish, almost carefree in-law family that are just darting around, socializing, dropping pigs off to people because they're so rich and affluent and happy-looking and healthy-looking. Is this Pearl fucked up by nature, or is it nurtured within her from her own circumstances?
So here's the problem I have with this film. I love it. You're right. I think it does an incredible job of drawing a parallel between what we tend to do today, which is see celebrities and go, wow, that's great.
Yeah,
they
yeah.
must not experience pain or have to do work. And I bet the fun that they're having on screen is legitimate and authentic. And that's real. There's a real place where I can just live dancing and happy all the time because I can see it on that screen. And in her era, it's a cinema screen. And in our era, it's a phone screen. And in her era, it's the Spanish flu. And in our era, it's COVID. Brilliant little link there.
Exactly. Fucking
the
genius.
Nature versus nurture thing, I think, is interesting because throughout the film, she's killing animals. She's abusing her dad. She is stealing his medication. She's being selfish as fuck towards her mum. She's taking alligator eggs and smashing them in her hand. So I think there's some subtle subtext that she might be a little bit unwell.
Definitely. But my question is that her fault? Was she born that way, or is it the circumstances?
Right.
She's
so
in?
The current scientific understanding, is that you can be born with predispositions, but they have to be activated by nurture.
Okay.
So some people can never be nurtured into certain behaviors because they lack the genetic ability, right?
Right.
And some people are genetically able to do stuff that never gets nurtured into their character. I don't think...
Wait, what the fuck?
That's the...
Hold on one sec. So the scientific standard...
Yeah.
So I could be born with the genetic predisposition to have fantastic C-cup tits, but it's never been nurtured
in terms of character.
Oh.
So you can have a predisposition.
Well, in character-wise, I've got some voluptuous Ds. You know what I mean?
You do, buddy. You do.
Thanks, man.
You make a jiggle smile every time.
Oh, the jiggle physics on my character Ds?
Right.
Insane.
Incredible.
You should see. I can't jog. I lose teeth. Character teeth. All gone.
So you can be genetically predisposed to be much more likely to commit murder. But you have to be raised in an environment that activates that genetic ability, right?
Fritzl's basement.
Right. Or you can be genetically given longer fingers and a slightly myopic focus ability, which can help you learn guitar because you're able to get around the fretboard easier and you've got that kind of obsessive nature where someone goes, oh, Mr. Hendrix, do you want to come out and get drunk? And it's like, no, I'm going to go practice going meow for like another 9 hours, right?
Yeah, but to be fair though,
worth it.
Maybe do 9 more.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
1000% worth it.
So I don't think Pearl is evil by nature, and I don't think it's her parents' fault. I think the interesting thing that the film points out is that she's not able to distinguish between the horrific reality that she's being shown in the war footage, where they're going, this is real.
Okay.
And then with no context given, it switches over to a fictional scenario. Palace Follies.
Right.
Look at these people laughing, look at these people dancing, and you're supposed to intuit and know subconsciously that that's a fantasy.
Right, okay.
That's not a real place. Here's some news, here's some reality.
Yeah.
And then the screen goes dark, and when it comes bright again, this is a fiction.
Got you.
So on the one hand, she's being shown, this is normal, this is fine, this kind of violence, this kind of death,
yep,
that happens,
yeah, yeah,
and that's, we're just shooting it dispassionately. There's no alarm here, that's fine.
Mm-hmm.
And then here's these smiling, laughing, happy people who are perfect.
Right.
But you should know that's fictional.
Yeah.
Now, but most people
how
do.
How fucking delicate does right. the film do this right. though, right?
Really, really gently.
Yeah.
Most people know the difference. Pearl doesn't because she's a little, she's got a spicy brain.
Yeah.
Does that then place the responsibility for Pearl's actions on the media? Remember when Old Boy came out and there were loads ooh. Of people going...
There was.
Oh, someone got killed with a hammer and people are complaining. Or Call of Duty with the Columbine shooters. And I'm like, yeah. Should media have to cater to the lowest common denominator? Because some nutter out there is going to watch Old Boy and then go grab a hammer.
This is a very interesting point, and it brings up one of my favorite quotes of all time. It's one that I live by.
Right.
And it's one that's got me through the last few years right. of fucking spicy brain myself, right?
Don't stop believing.
It's live, laugh, love. No, it's...
Red Sky at Night, Shepherd's Delight.
That's the one, yeah.
She'll be 18 one day.
Oh, pre-order it, you know what I mean?
Oh!
What I'm saying...
Too quick.
Yeah, it was horrible. I hated everything about that entire joke sequence. What I'm saying is, my favorite quote that's got me through the last 3 years of spicy brain, it's helped me being sober,
mm-hmm.
it's helped me get back on my feet-ish. I'm nearly there.
Right.
It's that your mental health isn't your fault,
mm-hmm.
but it is your responsibility.
Yes. Yes, 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 yes.
It's not your fault that you're genetically predispositioned to have a spicy brain, right. but it's your responsibility
to make sure that
not let spicy brain be you.
Yeah, yeah,
right?
Yeah, yeah. 100%.
Yeah, keep it fucking smoked paprika. Let's not go cayenne pepper. You know what I mean?
Other people are yeah. eating around you. They don't want spicy eyes. You
fucking hit the nail on the head with this one, man. I don't think that media needs to cater to anyone or anything. Right. I think it should be a complete free reign to say and do what right. you want, right?
Abu Hamza can just be as popular as he likes.
Whatever the fuck appeals to you, yeah, appeals yeah. to you. If you're a piece of shit person, you're going to watch all the right-wing bullshit. You know yeah, what I mean? Yeah. It's fine. That's fine. But it's not the media's fault that you're allowing it to dictate who you right, are as a person
exactly.
or what matters to you.
Yes.
Do you know what I mean?
And so with the nature versus nurture thing, I think there are elements within Pearl's life
mm-hmm.
that lead towards her actions.
1,000%.
But they do not excuse her actions.
Oh God, bud, I fucking love that we're doing this film right now. I have never agreed with you so fucking aggressively in my life. I swear, I just want to fucking hug this out. You know what I mean? Just fucking, just bear grip it out. Ty West, man.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. He's...
I don't understand it. I don't understand how he just goes...
Well...
Oh, okay, so I'm just going to throw this film together. And then all of a sudden, also, it's a complete
yeah, yeah.
social breakdown of everything that's going on at every point in history ever. I'm just going to throw my hand at anything. And do you know what? I'll break it down for you. You ready for this?
Well, he's incredible. I say he's incredible. He's capable. I think there is another creative force in this film. Because this film...
Okay.
is a brilliant idea for a film.
It is.
But you have to have the actors able to do it.
Do.
I don't think you could do this film with, say, Eddie Murphy in drag as...
It'd be a different film.
Norbit.
It'd be a different... yeah, or yeah, it would be Norbit 2.
Right. I suppose given the time period, it would be a very different film anyway. But
I was gonna crack a joke. I didn't feel like I was ready.
That's
to.
That's not our place.
But we got there.
No. We don't need.
No. It's fine.
But but I think a less capable actress, Dakota Johnson, could not have made this film what it is.
You say that, but we've all seen Madame Web. You know what I mean? We've all seen cinematic genius.
I unironically
genius.
Kind
it's
of,
true, pure
I
as
unironically
well.
Kind of enjoy Madame Web because it's so bad. But
right, same.
Mia same. Goth, I have learned nothing about her, right?
Well,
and
okay.
the things I have learned have made me upset. Mm-hmm. She's kicking extras in the head, currently being sued for yep. that. Well, I don't think we've got time to cover that. She married Shia LaBeouf?
She did. She married Shia LaBeouf in 2016.
After all of his many public abuse yep. allegations and convictions?
I think she saw it as a challenge. She was right. like, I'm going to get a platinum trophy on that one, mate.
Right.
Platinum that one.
Oh, yeah,
and then
yeah.
when she
saw
like,
Shia LaBeouf and just went, I think all those other women were just pussies.
Yeah. That's exactly what it was. These abuse allegations came out and she went, pussies, and then immediately started chasing that marriage. You know what I mean? I think that was the reaction.
Cool.
They've been married for fucking years, right? The relationship has been like up and down, up and down.
Are they still married?
They're separated. They separated for a bit, right, and then they reconciled, and it's still a thing.
Oh God.
I think. I'm not too clued up.
Right, okay. If I'm honest. Where does she come from? Because she's definitely not called me a goth.
Because
it just sounds like a racist interpretation of... It sounds like an Italian goth explaining their fashion choice.
She's not... Her name isn't Mia Goth. Right. Her name is actually...
Peppa Pig.
Mia Gypsy Mello da Silva Goth.
Oh my That's God. Her full name. What? So her actual surname is Goth?
Yeah.
Does she have hippie parents? Because that explains a lot.
No, Brazilian and Canadian.
Right, okay. But all of her middle names are like...
I'm not going to lie. All of my research time went on the encyclopedia. I've got like honest, six mate, bullet points on Mia Goth, to be honest.
Way better. Way better. I yeah, much right? preferred the encyclopedia file to... We'll come back to Mia Goth. It's fine because I think...
She's been in a few bits, right? She's been in a few bits. Nymphomaniac was her first film, right?
Right, okay. I watched that, but I wasn't really concentrating on the plot.
No one's seen the end of that film. It's mental. It's like, have you ever tried watching porn after you've come? It's disgusting. It's just that film.
I mean, I'm ex-cocaine addict, but then, yes, I've seen all of Nymphomaniac.
You've seen all of Pornhub, mate. Like, there's got to have been times when you were like, this isn't going to end. This isn't going to end.
Yeah. I mean, there's chunks I've not seen.
Okay.
The guy-on-guy stuff's less interesting to me.
Really?
I mean, you're the bendy one. I'm just like, that's fine.
The bendy one.
Yes. You're the bendy one. And I'm just like, all right. That's perfectly pleasant, but not for me. You know?
Oh, these what polite young men.
Right, exactly.
Oh, what polite.
Oh, they're having
gentlemen.
A lovely time.
They're just, aren't they're they just having a lovely hands? Time? Oh, no, they're not.
No, I'm just, even they're when they're doing the thing, I'm like, well, that's nice for them.
Oh, bless Steve. He's really into Ian.
Right.
They must be great friends.
That looks like a fun time that's just not available to me.
It's the weirdest sentence that I'm about to say, but I would fucking kill for you to just commentate on gay porn for that exact storyline right there. Oh, what a lovely interaction.
We'll upload a Pornhub video one day.
Okay.
Just hello, welcome to the Ever Movie Ever podcast, and we're just reviewing... We'll do a live watch along.
Of gay porn.
If we ever do a live show, we'll just load some gay porn. It'll have to be an 18 plus event. And I'll just, I'll do it like it's the Olympics.
We'll do a song.
Yeah,
we'll commentate, we'll spectate it through. Yeah. We'll do some action replays.
I'll just
be
there going, oh, and he's speeding up. Pace is increasing. Yeah. Oh, there we go. That's fantastic. Textbook move there.
Now you join us at the long jump. Oh, and there it goes. That was 3.2 feet over Ian's back. There we go. So she was in Nymphomaniac. No right. one's ever seen the end of that film. Anyway, this gave her a fucking open door into Hollywood, being sort of like she can take on challenging and unconventional parts, right?
Yes. I mean...
So following that, she was in stuff like The Survivalist.
Not seen it.
A Cure for Wellness.
Great film. Fucking great film.
Yes. Did you remember her in it?
I did, yes.
Okay, well, there you go. Well, fuck me then, right? Okay. Let's just skip past this whole bit that I had for that. That's fine. But Goth really got popular with the remake of Suspiria, which is a bag of shit.
Yeah, I didn't bother watching it. If Tom York does the soundtrack, I'm like, that's going to be shit then.
Yeah, it's fucking wanky. It's just wanky. The original Suspiria is way better. The original soundtrack's way better. Go listen to Goblin.
I like Tom York's music. I hate his film taste.
I just fucking hate Tom York, if I'm honest. No. I remember bumping into him once and saying, can you sign my Radiohead CD? This is after a gig. Can you sign my Radiohead CD? And he went, why? And then just walked off.
I mean, but did you answer him?
No.
Well then,
because I was so into Tom York at the time, I was like, yeah, fuck it, why am I into this material bullshit? I threw my CD away, but then I also really wanted my fucking CD, so I was like, that guy's a dick. You know what I mean?
Okay, it's a complicated relationship with Tom York. I get it.
It was an odd mix of emotions that I was going through in a time when I wasn't
and that's
really
exactly
sure
what I have with Mia Goth.
Okay,
because I think she is Pearl in a lot of ways and doesn't know it.
Okay, how so?
I think from everything I've seen of Mia Goth, even the fucking name, even the like, Pearl goes through the entire movie going, but I'm a star.
Right.
Right? I'm a star, and that's what's going to make me happy. And that kind of, it's a criticism of that externalization of happiness into when I'm a big shot, I'll matter. Right?
Right.
And then you read the allegations against her where she's kicked this guy in the head and is quoted as saying, "Nobody will believe you because you're nothing. Get the fuck off my set, you big baby." I think that kind of sense of what I'm doing is important because it's art. I'm not an entertainer and I'm not a person. I'm an artistic star. I'm going to marry Shia LaBeouf and Shia's
platinum that abuse trophy. Right.
And I'm going to go, I'm the shit. And I just, there's a lack of self-awareness that I see in Mia Goth of like, if I saw her in interviews and she was like, yeah, it's just a job. You know, I'm doing a job and I'm glad that people enjoy it, but it's not. It's very much like, yes, aren't I the greatest artist?
I mean,
and then to make Pearl and not be aware. I haven't seen much of her
in interviews.
Oh, okay. You remember, like, I don't watch Christopher Nolan interviews because it makes him worse for me.
Yeah, this is the same for me. I don't like peeking behind the curtain sometimes.
Maybe for Maxine, watch a few interviews with her and be like, oh.
I don't know if I can.
Okay.
She's one of those people, like, after Infinity Pool, I'm unashamedly a little bit in love with Mia Goth. Right,
okay.
You know what I mean? Like, kick me in the fucking head and call me a piece of shit and I'll get off your set.
I figured out your taste in women, by the way.
Okay.
How old were you when you watched the animated film Rango starring Johnny Depp?
I've never seen it.
Really?
I've never seen it.
Because there's a chameleon in that that I think would drive you insane.
Okay.
It's an anthropomorphic chameleon that's a Wild West lady, and she's got chameleon eyes, so they're massive.
Sure.
And they're on the side of her head.
All right, I'm invested.
And I would have put good money on you watching Rango at a formative age and just going, That's what a sexy woman is to me.
Right, okay.
A chameleon in a dress.
Yeah.
Because Mia Goth, you could describe her as a chameleon. Anya Taylor-Joy, I'm surprised she's got more fingers than three.
Get my fucking wife's name out of your fucking mouth for a start. All right? I'll walk on this stage and slap you in the mouth. I don't care. All right? Fuck the Oscars. Ban me. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
No, you raise good points. I think my issue is that during my formative years, I watched a lot of movies about aliens.
Right.
And... yeah, you know
it's
what I mean?
It's the kinky thing, right? They scare me. It's owls a weird scare thing. Me.
Yeah, it's that.
So because it's scary, it kind of becomes a bit, ooh.
Yeah. Someone told me, someone told me, Helen at Boardroom Game Cafe told me that owls' face is just an ear. That they have like a concave
Ben,
face
you've gone from like Encyclopedia Ben with well-researched
to hearsay about owls.
Someone at a cafe told me that owls' face, firstly, plural of owls is not owls's. And what owls is...
They are owls.
Owls.
Nah, that doesn't sound right.
Owl is the singular.
Yeah.
Owls is the plural.
Owls is two, and then anything like owls in general, for all of them together, right, owls is.
Okay, cool. So we've gone from Encyclopedia Ben telling us about Russian history in 1914, which I loved, by the way.
Thank you. I did that for you.
Back to our regularly scheduled programming of Ben going, owls' face is just here.
It is, though. Isn't that fucked up? That's fucked up. Don't play it off like you're not impressed right now. That's terrifying. Anyway, where are we? Is this the show? Are we helping the show?
I mean,
have I done something
you've
good?
You've done, Ben.
I'm going to round out the show.
You've
I'm
done
round
brilliantly
out the show
this
with one
week,
more
this
thing,
week.
Right?
I'm very Thank impressed you. With the research.
Thank you. I have one little bit because you asked a question. You were like, why was this made at the same time as X? And I have answers for you, right?
Right.
So, Ty West started writing Pearl with Mia Goth whilst X was still in production.
Okay.
So Mia Goth had signed on before X had finished production. They were like, yes, we're going to do this. It's going to be fucking great. They kept it secret from everyone because no one knew. The only people that knew were A24,
yep.
who were like, okay, well, you're on the set. You've built a ton of shit. And I guess it makes financial sense for you to just
make another film while you're there. Yeah.
Yeah, just stay there for a bit.
You're
and
in New Zealand,
where
a workshop around the corner, so you can get some severed heads and whatnot. Yeah.
Exactly. And fucking, obviously, A24 are the coolest, apart from Orion, A24 are the coolest fucking people. And 88 Films, what am I talking about? They're one of the coolest fucking, you know, producers of films at this point.
Yeah, 100%.
So they were like, yeah, fucking do it. This whole film was a secret, and it was only revealed at the premiere of X at the South by Southwest when they included a teaser trailer for another feature-length film that was about to come out 6 months later. And everyone there was like, what the fuck did he just say? I'm sorry, we've just witnessed cinematic genius and then gone, oh yeah, but by the way, here's another one.
The sequel's already made, so...
The sequel's made, yeah. We'll just, I'm just, you know, I'll knock it out in a couple
months. I love the idea that they did it in secret, so everyone involved in the... Jenna Ortega and everyone else involved in the making of his film X will have been 100% sure that her and Ty West were fucking.
Oh, 1,000%.
They'd have been like, they keep going off, they don't tell us what they're up to, and then only at the premiere of X were they like, oh, they were making a film without us. There was another WhatsApp group.
Can you imagine? Oh my God, I didn't even think about that.
Right?
Can you imagine their reaction? They just see the teaser trailer and they're like, what the fuck? Yeah. I was there!
Yeah.
Oh my God, that's amazing.
Didn't want me in the film then, no?
Cool. Yeah, fuck you then, right? Oh, wait, yeah.
So she can be in both, but you couldn't have just found, like, I don't know, a fucking market holder or a driver.
Mia Goth gets fucking two roles in X and I get killed off. Yeah, okay, right. Sound. All right, two films, sound.
She gets three roles.
Yeah, incredible. Fucking great. I've got a quote from him as well. I've got a quote from Ty West in an interview talking about how this all came to be. And he says, I came out of quarantine and I was like, we're already building all this stuff. It's COVID and we're on the one place on Earth where it's safe to make a movie. We had the whole crew from Avatar 2 who are on break. We should make two movies. And then he said, the miracle of A24 was that they thought this was actually a good idea. I love this man so much, Rob.
What?
I cannot put into words. No, sorry,
you buried the lead. You buried the lead on the fact that this was made by the same people who made Avatar 2.
Yeah, same crew. They were on break because of COVID. Did I not mention that in my Russian research, in my 1918 travel back in time history lesson?
Well, that's a great fact about the making of Pearl.
There you go. Just thought I'd sprinkle that on top for you. You know what I mean?
Just the very last, just as the dust, that's you going back for the hat of the episode as the doors close.
Yeah, that's exactly what it is. Yeah. And unfortunately,
that is all the time we've got for this week.
That's all the time we've got, man. That's it. Yeah, you know what I mean?
I actually low key love that we've spent an hour and there's one fact about this film. At 1 minute, 1 hour and 1 minute, there's one fact about this film.
Yeah.
Do you remember earlier when the How Are Yous? And I said, don't worry, this movie fact's coming. There's fuck all. There's one fact.
No, there is. No, really, realistically, there was movie fact coming. You know what I mean? And it came. We delivered. You're welcome, dear listener. Welcome to the show. This is where we amble through life.
That's all the time we've got for this week. We love you dearly.
You're so welcome.
We
love you all very dearly.
We do. I'm going to... Ben's going to wrap up the thoughts, themes and feelings of this week's film. To thank you for spending time, especially at the start of your week. I'm just going to tell you to... consume.
Is this the consume out? Dude, we've missed everything. There's no outro in this show. I've done fucking Russian research. There's no outro in this show. There's no outro. Fine, okay. Find something that you love doing, become fucking amazing at it, and then when someone pays you to do it, fuck it, do it twice. You know what I mean? I don't know. There's something in there. Don't be Pearl or be Pearl, depending on your genetic predisposition. I'm going to nurture you either way. You know what I mean? Be the best fucking you. Oh, the rating, yeah. I am going to rate it a 9.
Eight.
How would you rate it? Just a fucking 8. Are you joking? Are you seriously only rating this an 8? This was supposed to be your film.
Can you not hear that?
Hear what? Not hear anything.
Mate, there's like someone screaming, like Texas Chainsaw Massacre screaming.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
What the fuck? Is this your mental neighbor again?
I don't know who it is. I'd fuck off.
I don't know who it is, but fuck off. You live in the neighbor on Texas Chainsaw Massacre to just go, shut up. He's a murderer. Shut the fuck up. Shut up. I heard a little glimmer of something then. What's that? Oh my God. Is that real?
Yes.
Okay. Well, that's fucked up.